Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 1st of October 2017, Sunday. We will continue with our sharing on the Sixth Patriarch Black Bomb Sutta. Today is the 57th lesson. So we will get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Okay. Namo Bổn Sư释迦牟尼佛. Namo Bổn Sư释迦牟尼佛. Namo Bổn Sư释迦牟尼佛.那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎瓦当阿比瓦提。Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami.那摩达斯巴嘎瓦托阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯那摩达斯巴嘎瓦托阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯那摩达斯巴嘎瓦托Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dityampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dhatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panati Pata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapada SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajjhapamadhatanaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu 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 Okay, let's pay homage to the Triple Gem Buddhang Pajayame Dhammang มังพุทเยมิสังหังพุทเยมิโอเค you can be seated then let us turn to page 1 verse for opening a sutta verse for opening a sutta the unsurpassed profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to the page where we stop. We are at this page 279. Page 279. So we backtrack a little bit. After listening to the master, Fata weep without even knowing it. But it wasn't because he has been bullied or tricked. Before, he had stupidly wasted his time reciting the sutta without obtaining the slightest benefit. Now, at the master's explanation, he was so overcome with joy that he burst into tears, just like friends or relatives do when they meet after a long separation. He cried because of his great enlightenment. So all this while, Fata was like reciting this Lotus Sutta without understanding and comprehending what the Lotus Sutta says. So if you do it without understanding, you will not benefit. So this was again emphasized by the six patriarchs. Then before we continue further, I think for the benefit of those who didn't manage to join us on our recent spiritual trip to China, we visited a lot of expatriate temple while on this spiritual trip to Guangzhou. Guangzhou and of course Guilin. Guilin was more or less a tour. And there are some Dhamma too, but not so much. The main activity was when we were visiting Guangzhou or Canton for the first 5 days of our spiritual trip. We visited many of these famous temples and most of it were related to Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch, the Grand Master Hui Ning. We visited, I think, from the donation list you can see. The first one is what? Guang Xiao Si, is it? This was the place where he actually ordained, and it also marked the Parinibbana of Hui Ning. Then it was also here that he arrived after he came out from the forest. He was with the hunters for I think 15 over years. Then when he came out, this was the first place he came to. Then there was a assembly. Then during the assembly, there was these two Samanera monks arguing about the flag and the wind. One say the flag move, the other one say the wind move. Then Hui Ning been already awakened. He wanted to help these two monks to develop the understanding. Then he commented. He said, no need to argue. It's neither the flag nor the wind, it's your mind that moves. And because of that, there was a monk who was the abbot of Nanhua Si. He was there. And when he heard that, he knew this person who commented is not an ordinary person. Then he inquired, who are you? Where are you from? So this person answered, he said, I'm from the south. I'm Huining. Oh, then this abbot realized who he is. You must be the one that received the six patriarchship, means the symbol of the six patriarch transmission, Yi Bo, the rope and the bud, the initia, I don't know how to pronounce the word also, that mark the recognition of who Huining was. He said, you must be that person. Then he said, yes. He answered to the affirmation. Then he said, can you show proof? Then he took out the bud and the bowl. And that was how it all started. Then after that, he was invited to Nanhua Si to teach. And Nanhua Si, together with Guang Xiao Si, until today, we were very surprised. It's still there, very well preserved. And the teachings are all there. Then later on, we have a chance not only to visit these two temples, we also managed to visit one of his, I think that one is his, what, the Guo En Si. Is it his hometown or? Ah, his birthplace, once. Then what about Sing Sing? Sing Sing? Huh? Yeah, use the money. Because I remember these two places related to his birthplace.
Sing Sing is the place, his birthplace.
His birthplace,
he remember.
The,
his father,
the parents were also buried there. But what about the Guo En Si, where the Buddha relics is there, the monk took us around. No, Sing Sing is Liu Zhu Si, you remember? Si Hui. Then Sing Sing is the Guo En Si place, is it? Oh, then correct. Miss. Sing Sing is Guo En Si. Yeah, that's the birthplace. Yeah, we visited the birthplace. Then there's another, Nanhua Si we visited, yes. But there's another one, the last one, Liu Zhu Si, where all his teaching, his life history, the record all were actually nicely kept. I think there was a Hong Kong businessman who visited that place earlier on and promised if he were to one day become wealthy, he will come back and rebuild that place. That's how it became Liu Zhu Si. So all these way places were very beautiful. Then there was one, Da Xiong Chan Si, which was not in the itinerary. Then we have the condition to visit this way, and this place is equally beautiful. Of all the temples we visited, we did a lot of offering, donation and all things. And there were two temples who offered us a place to do our sharing, meditation and all those things. But at all these way places, the energy, the nature, the whatever condition was so conducive and so majestic and beautiful. So those who went on this spiritual trip, they can feel it. They benefited tremendously because our collective consciousness too was different. Then when we were at this Da Xiong Chan Si, we also saw one stupa, actually two very beautiful stupa. Then we also did chanting there. Then they were very happy because they invited us in and helped us to go around a very special hall. They call it the Three Great Beings Hall. Sifang Sansen, Amitabha Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and Da Shi Zi Fusa. Da Shi Zi Fusa, he got another Pali name. I forgot already. Yeah. He has another Pali name. And these images were so nicely built. According to what we heard, it was the tallest in the world at the moment. The three together. And housed in one very, very majestic hall. The total height of the building is about 39.8 meters. What was the name of the abbot? You read to me, Engby. Peng Huan, Peng Huan Zhang Lao. So the abbot there is very good. Peng Huan Zhang Lao, he was the first line disciple of Xu Yun Lao He Sang. You remember the patriarch before Xuan Huo? Before many. He got very good first line disciple. Even our late Puan Zhang Lao also, were the first line disciple of Xu Yun Lao Sang. He passed away at the age of 120, and he was instrumental for rebuilding Buddhism, all the temples in China during his time. So we were very fortunate we got to visit all these Wei places. And this particular abbot who were at this, rebuilt this Da Xiong Chanshi, he also lived until 106. He passed away at the age of 106. But because of his vow, very heavy, and his compassion, he has a lot of love. So he also built many halls, very special halls there. One of the unique one is the 1,000 Bodhisattva Hall, Pusa Dian. 1,000 Pusa Dian. He said Lohan Dian. You heard of 500 Lohan Dian a lot. But he felt that place, because it was near to the ancestors' place, there were a lot of beings that need help. Then it was one of his vow when he came to know that our this world need more bodhisattva to come. They need more pusa to come and tu zhong sen, means take the living beings across. So he vowed to help build that 1,000 bodhisattva hall to bring about all the causes and conditions. Then there were many things that also happened which were very conducive. So you all should rejoice because as Kayanamita, you all also donated through the Kayanamita Fund into the common pool. And all those who get to join and donate and make offering, you should all rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Shall we do it? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And the beauty of this visit was all the six patriarch Dhamma, very special Dhamma, they were all engraved on the pillar. And they were also, the whole six patriarch Black Palm Sutta, they carved it into very beautiful drums, I think. There was one place where the monk explained to us. We also saw the beautiful image of the most senior top disciple of Hui Ning. I think his name is Fahai. He was instrumental for taking out all those important sutta when the Cultural Revolution time, when they burned all the Buddhist temple. He risked his life and went in and took all this important sutta out. Then together with him on the opposite, they have the youngest. It seems this youngest one is also very special. His name is Shen Hui. So they are in golden images to commemorate them. So this one is if I'm not wrong, is Guo Enshi. Inside there, there is a special relic hall, which is Sakyamuni Buddha's relic was there. Then this monk lead us to chant Namo Bunsu Shi Jia Moni Fo, round for 3 rounds inside that place. Then he advised us to meditate there. Then I said, it's okay, because I want to visit his main place. I said, take us there first. If it's still open, we will come back. But by the time we go back, it was already closed. But when we were there, we can feel the nature, the energy are very beautiful. Then the most beautiful writing on the pillar was what we have learned in the Six Patriarch Sutta. Huh? I think I will get Ying Bi or Mandarin Canna. Wu Nian, Wu Zhu, Wu Xiang. Write it on the whiteboard. You can write, huh? So long didn't write. Yeah, help me to write. So this was the teaching. Tuesday class I get Padmasuri to write. So now Sunday class I get Ying Bi to write. So this one, I think when we took the photo, we saw his original body, the Rosen. They put in the gold-plated thing, gold flake, I don't know what. It was so majestically done up, and it's in a glass case. I think I don't know whether they were cumid or what. It was very nice. Then up there is Huineng, Liu Zhu Huineng Pusa. He's a great Bodhisattva. Then on the pillar, on one side, we saw this. These are the three key essence of his teaching. So when you can develop your meditation in stages to have all these three, you will become Samasambuddha. The first one is Wu Nian. Wu Nian means no thought, which we have gone through. Then Wu Xiang. Xiang is the mark. Mark of a self cultivating, mark of living being, mark of the phenomenal world, mark of life, mark of Dhamma, everything. So these are the three important three important essence of Huineng's teaching. So these three are very important. This one is the first one. Wu Nian is no thought. That's the reason why Huineng's teaching is very penetrative. He takes the cultivator direct to the true mind. So when you are able to develop this ability to stay at the true mind, to connect with your nature, then you can realize this first essence, the first stage of development of the Bodhi mind, to have this ability to connect with the true mind or the true nature. The true mind has got no thought. So under the five stages of Bodhi mind development, when you are able to reach this stage, you actually develop the third stage of Bodhi mind development, which is already very good, very, very much quite advanced in your cultivation. And to reach this stage, even for sainthood way cultivation, finally after they really become enlightened, they only touch this part. They haven't stabilized this part, the first essence. So the first essence is For most people who cultivate using the mind, the normal mundane mind or thought-based meditation, leading to this first essence of Hui Ning's teaching, you must reach the stage of no thought. That's why I saw in the what they call poem that or the letter that Po Yan Sang Hao wrote. Miss Lee told me it's from his teacher. I think earlier was Dr. Zheng. Who is Dr. Zheng? The dentist. He accidentally sent to our sacro. Then I asked my wife to read, but I can't read. Then I find it interesting. So I suspect it's from the teacher. The last time Miss Lee told me before, that's why in the Heart Sutta, I use that as a code for you to develop better understanding. Then when we were on the spiritual trip, I think I shared with Ing Bi too. So he used to share this with Miss Lydia, I think. Qi Xing Dong Nian. That's why this one, the teaching is when you arise the mundane mind, that thing is the mundane mind, then you create mental activity. So this is what Qi Xing Dong Nian is all about. Then the Buddha, through his teaching, he used another word. He said, our mind, which is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why after Qi Xing Dong Nian, which is the same as its dependent origination, because of ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance, it arises mental activity, which is thinking. Then the Mahayana also got one saying, it's the same as mind is a forerunner of all things, but you all use it in a better way. 一切为心造, you remember? The mind is responsible, 心造成的. So when you penetrate the Dhamma, you will understand beautifully all this teaching, and you will have a lot of joy. Then that understanding will stabilize as you go through the cultivation, deeper and deeper. Then, 动念是无明, 无念就是真心. That is from Miss Lee last night. He asked me, he said, Poyan Chang Lao Si, it is very beautiful, this is wisdom. 动念即无明, 无念是真心. When you are without thought, the true mind arises. But human beings' problem is, you cannot be without thought for long. You think a lot. Sankara, activity, non-stop moving. That's why the first stage of cultivation is to develop sati. What is sati? Sati is mindfulness. And what is mindfulness? Sati is what? Awareness? So from this you will understand awareness before the knowing. And who know? What know? It's the mundane mind, the thought. So before you know, there is no perception, there is no memory. That's why you see things as they are. In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see yet. No content of consciousness yet. That's why there is the pure awareness, the true mind. And this true mind is nothing. That's why 无念. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing. So when you understand this, you cultivate sati. Means the Buddha asks you to cultivate the true mind. Use the true mind to cultivate. Just be aware. Then don't try to do anything. The doing is what? The doing is Qi Xing Dong Nian. And who do? Who meditate? For normal people, who do the meditation? The thought is there. That's why the thought is trying to meditate. So thought create what? Thinking, activity, Nian Tou. So, Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming. Means you don't understand, that's why you think. That's why you go and arise a thought. One thing to know, one thing to understand, you think. And thinking is the source of delusion. When you understand, you don't need to think. When you don't understand, you have to think. Then when you understand and use thought, that is not thinking. The user of thought, just use it. Understand? You don't have to have a thinker behind the thought. Thought is respond to memory. Thought arise when there is understanding and there is right thought without delusion. So all this, they are linked, connected. So when you understand the teaching, that's why we were full of joy when we were there. And when we understand this, when we share it at the Liu Chu Si, they let us use the meditation hall where the monk used to have their meditation. So in the sharing, I recited this, and it was beautiful. So they were also surprised that we can understand this. So this is the first essence. First essence means you reach the stage of no thought. But this is a free mind. Huh? This is not in sati. In samatha or concentration. So this no thought is a free mind. Huh? Free mind. So it's not a conditioned state. Then this one is stage 2. Second essence. So this one is no mark. Not until you can realize the first stage or the first essence, you can meditate until your mind is so still, so quiet, just aware most of the time. Then this mind becomes different. Where the stability of mindfulness develops samadhi, then it can see things as they are. You understand? Seeing things as they are. Means not through memory, not through your views, opinion, and conditioning. It's just the direct seeing. Seeing things as they are. Without word, without concept. Without the brain telling you anything. And through that, you will awaken. You will insight into phenomena. Then you will understand clearly the three universal characteristics of impermanence. Suffering state and non-self or empty nature. That's how when you awaken, you will reach this stage of no mark, the second phase of cultivation or the second essence of Huining's teaching. Then when you reach this phase, you will come to know the form and mind is not real, not you. Even at the sainthood stage, you already have the understanding. Yeah. Then if you can conclude that there is no being inside there, there is no me or a self cultivating, then you will also know there is no living being to save. Then the third mark is more difficult. Sainthood we may not really understand. They only know that they are all dependent originating, condition arising, hence impermanent. And because they are impermanent, they are empty, not real. Yeah. But the third one, the third mark is not only no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of the phenomenal world, no mark of life, no mark of existence. This pertains to the conditioned world. That part, the moment you penetrate, you will cultivate differently. And this second phase is what they call the cultivation according to our Diamond Sutta. Diamond Sutta cultivation. That's why in the Diamond Sutta, the Tuesday class that we are Oh, sorry, that we have completed. You always heard of this cultivation of Noma. Then there is a famous poem, you remember? Yeah? The four-line stanza, the famous. You can recall that. No. The you wei fa one. Ah, yi qie you wei fa. Ru meng huan pao ying, ru lu yi lu dian. Ying zuo ru shi guan. That one is the very powerful, what they call. Can somebody write here? Ying bi want to write, you know how to write. Come. Oh, very good. Wow, sadhu. Yeah. This one is the best, I tell you. With that, you penetrate this second essence. That's why the sutta, the Diamond Sutta, says you can understand this four stanza and teach it to the world. Your field of merits is way beyond any cultivator of the way within the conditioned world who has the seven treasure in this universe. And you can have unlimited seven treasure to offer to all the Buddhas of the three period of time. Yet the merit received by such cultivator is nowhere compared to a Diamond Sutta cultivator who understand this four stanza and teach it to the world. You just imagine how powerful this cultivation is. So instead of taking aeons and aeons, when you hit this, you are actually very advanced in the Bodhisattva way. Then when you are here, you actually, like I used to tell you, you no longer have that delusion that you still chase after merit. And Wu Zhu, the fifth patriarch, say, you better hurry up and don't waste your time chasing after tinted merit. You understand what is tinted merit? Tinted merit means thought-based cultivation merits. Even the sainthood way and all those things. So you have to go beyond tinted merit. Means you cultivate with the understanding of no mark. There is one more word. Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. Oh, very good. English handwriting is very neat. Oh, sadhu. Yes.
一个王，死亡的王下面的李，狮子边。哦，OK。呀。哦，OK。
Thank you, for helping out. Yeah. So when you can cultivate to that level, then you become completely different. Then at this level, to you, merit got no more meaning, isn't it? You are just understanding the four stanza and teach. Your merit is way, way beyond what a cultivator can do, even at the first stage of Wu Nian. Not all. They can never compete with the one that understand Noma. So when you reach this level of cultivation, you are completely way beyond. And what is this level of cultivation? It's tied to this poem. Each year you wait for. What is the meaning? Because whatever that arises, they are due to conditioned Dhamma. So this conditioned Dhamma, because it's within the conditioned world. So the meaning is, everything within the conditioned world, they are conditioned Dhamma. 有为法无为法， these two, the meaning is very deep. So conditioned Dhamma means dependent originating, condition arising. That's why the Buddha, when he teach, he told the five ascetics, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions he has explained. Means law karma. That's the reason why under the five daily contemplation he emphasized. He said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, means every living being's life, then you have to take care of karma. This is where the teaching comes. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, he has explained. So for the mundane, for my mind, it is 100% karma. That's why if you don't take care of karma, you cannot change your life. So your condition existence, or conditioned Dhamma, this is the one that rules within the conditioned world. So if you don't take care of karma, you cannot change your life destiny. You understand? Yeah. So your life destiny, yeah, you cannot change. So if you want to have good life, you have to take care of karma. So he said, each year you wave. So everything is within the conditioned world. They are conditioned arising Dhamma, nothing else. Then they are like Zhu Meng. Meng is like a dream. They are like, actually should the other way around, English word. They are dream. Dream like. Then, Huan is illusion. Then, Pao. Pao is bubble. Ying is shadow. Yeah. They are like dreams, illusion, bubble, and shadow. So dreamlike, illusion, bubble, and shadow. All these are the description of conditioned Dhamma. When you make dream, what do you make out of it? Yeah? It's just some mental movement, isn't it, when you sleep. They call it the conditioned mind that releases through subconscious release and the unconscious release. So this release of consciousness, they create dream. And dream is just a mental movement, release out, finish. Where they are trapped memories, attachment. So when you accumulate and hold them, this one become problem. That's why Krishnamurti call it disorder. When you live a life of disorder, means unfinished business, you hold, you grasp, you cling. And the Mahayana call it accumulation. Because you accumulate, it gives rise to suffering. So this one has to release. If you don't release, if you store it there for too long, it will make the brain problematic. You become cuckoo. That's why you have to release all this through subconscious release. Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your sorrow, lamentation. So sometimes you dream of all these things. You suddenly got nightmare and all this. These are your subconscious release. Otherwise they are trapped inside. So dreamlike. Illusion means like a magician, you remember? Create illusion for you to see. It's just like when you open your eye. You can see everything within your field of vision, isn't it? True or not? Like now you can see me, hear my voice, see the Buddha Rupang, yeah? Or whatever traffic vibration, the vision that you can see around this Wu Ping Jing Sa. This one is like a magician, create illusion for you to see. You think it's real or not? Of course, you say, this is very solid, isn't it? I'm very solid. Everything is so solid. How can you say not real, even this table? Is it real? Because you see it, isn't it? And you can sense it and touch it, isn't it? Of course, you will say it's real, isn't it? Very logical, isn't it? But I ask you the next question, you will know. Close your eye. What happened? All this is gone, isn't it? You can only retain through memory, isn't it? So how real can it be? It's only mind-made. Condition arising. You see it or not? Mind-made are they? It's an illusion. Like a magician. Now you see. Now you don't. Open your eye. Creation start. Arise. Exist. Real. Close the eye. No more. Cease. Then what is happening? Like I used to share with you all the block card analogy, remember? Externally, how does the block card arise? Through all the parts that come together. Just like this table. It has its condition to be here. When condition cease to be, this table cease to be. The block card also say, the Buddha asked the monk to dismantle, then he say, where's the block card? Oh, they say, no more. Gone. But they never say the block card die. Then he said, okay, assemble back. Oh, then the condition, put the parts together, it arises again and exists again. So what is exist and non-existent? What is real and unreal? Everything depends on the mind. The condition behind is arising. This is how you penetrate the three universal characteristic. When you reflect, contemplate, and understand, then you develop the understanding through your daily mindfulness. And you will be able to experience them. Because during the early day, I remember, when I was completely aware, mindful throughout the day, I tested it. I tested all the consciousness. I want to understand how I know things, how perception arises, how the mind create all this. So I was just silent, aware. That every moment of perception, the awareness understand. That the awareness know, hey, arise already. Hey, no more already. Oh. That this senses is like the physics experiment. Upon contact, consciousness arise. Then the content, how it went in, the awareness saw. They start to understand, not what you think. This is not what the living being think. There is no reality. It's the play of all the conditions coming together. Then this form of mind is not what you think. When there is condition, it arrives. That's why I can tell you that which is not in the book. What are the three conditions that animate this human being? You need a physical body since birth. Evolve until now, the sperm, ovum, then the subdivision of cell, then the fetus, then after that the baby, then born into this world. Then after that you grew up with all the conditioning, views, opinion, and all those things. Then your tradition, your belief system. So all this mold you, and your brain become the conditioned brain. And that is not you. The bundle of memory that identify who you are, through your wrong view, illusion. That is not you. That's why you have to see all this clearly, through awareness, through mind. Then I was asking this question, who am I? What am I? How come this one can animate, speak, talk, and do all these things? Oh, then, when it saw it in the awareness, in the mindfulness, in the daily life, then it start to understand. Oh, really not what you think. So this poem actually become very beautiful, very powerful. But then, the moment I hear about it, how come I can understand? I don't need people to explain to me. It was because this nature in the past has cultivated before. So, whatever that arises within the conditioned world, each year you wave out, these are conditioned dhamma. Existence is conditioned Dhamma. You can put like that. Existence is conditioned Dhamma. Then they are dreamlike, illusion, bubbles and shadow. So dream, I already explained. Illusion, I already explained. It's just consciousness. You understand? That's why I say the phenomenal world is the world of? World of what? Ah, consciousness. You understand? And what is consciousness? Energy, image. Understand? Physical experience. Upon contact, the light bulb light up. You become conscious. Understand? And how real can that be? It's just a mind state. That's why, like the magician create illusion for you to see. How real can it be? Even here, solid, tangible. They are not real because the moment you close your eye, it's gone. The moment your senses cease to function, they are all gone. They are conditioned, no more. Then, bubble, what is bubble? Like I used to share with you all. As real as can be, it's only within the moment, correct? And how stable is the moment? Split second is dead and gone. It's just like the analogy of feeling. Feeling arise, straight away, pass away. Yeah, it's within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. That's why it's like bubble. Gone. And that is the present moment. The only reality in life. And how real can it be? Well, it just lasts that moment. The moment you say this moment is dead and gone. Finish. Then why do you hold on to it? Give so much meaning to it. Even the moment is fleeting. You understand what is fleeting, that word? F-L-E-E-T-I-N-G. So this one, the moment is fleeting. Fleeting means so unstable. So unstable, huh? So this one is very beautiful. Then after that, he tell you, even shadow, how real can the shadow be? Anasana. Everywhere you move, the shadow will follow you unless there is no light to reflect. And what is shadow? Shadow is nothing. Because it's nature's law. Sunlight or light reflected, block at the back, there is shadow. And just like Dhammapada verse 2, he said, if you cultivate the mind, develop wholesomeness, develop what they call heedfulness, and you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, then what happens is, happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. You should develop until this stage where all of your karmic conditioning give rise to beautiful fruition. Then this shadow is useful, understand now? Because you got no choice. Good or bad, it follow you. So if you want to take care of your life, you better take care of karma. You better train your mind to be heedful, to be ever mindful. And to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then you follow the advice of the Buddha. Then after that, he said, all these dreamlike illusion, bubble and shadow, they are like a lightning flash and a dew. So what is a lightning flash? Zulu, ilu tian. Lu is dew. This is dew. This is lightning flash. Like dew and a lightning flash. Flash. So the meaning is very beautiful. And this morning dew, yeah, at first you see the dew is like very real there. But when sun rise, what happened? It's gone, is it? Evaporated, is it? Then lightning flash is for those very fast moving phenomena. The slower moving one is like a dew. Ultimately it's empty, gone. The very fast one is like a lightning flash, gone. Then how real can the condition will be, the condition Dhamma be? So when you awaken to this, you are not foolish. Then the Buddha said, 应作如是观, you should contemplate it thus. This one is very important. That's why you have to contemplate until very clear. You should contemplate it thus. And this will develop wisdom and make you very different. So you constantly reflect, contemplate. When you are doing your daily mindfulness, living your daily life, you always recall each year you wave. It's a condition number. You cannot fight with the condition world. Truth is, the reality is, what is. The reality is like that. Things will be like that. Because everything that arises, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. So when causes and conditions is already determined at that point of time, the resultant will be this. I cannot fight against what is the reality. So those who go against reality are the one that is foolish and deluded. Means you wanting your way. When you want things your way and you cannot get what you want, what happened? You will suffer. And wanting is craving, desire, delusion. If you want to receive certain things, you want to change your life, then you have to input the causes and conditions to develop them. That's why moment to moment you can introduce new karmic conditioning for your karmic nature to become beautiful. That's the reason why you have to cultivate daily mindfulness, heedfulness, leading to the beautiful Buddha nature, karmic nature and the spiritual nature. So this poem is very powerful. Then if you can cultivate until that level, you will progress very fast. Then you will reach the point of no regression. You will not fall back. You will just all the way up, cultivate. Then later on, this third essence, you can leave it. This is the third essence. Wu Chu. Oh, sorry. Third essence. Means you can live a life without dwelling. No dwelling. This stage you cannot develop until you have penetrated the very, very what they call profound Dhamma, or the second phase. Then when you have this understanding, you will become different. Because after there is no thought, you have the ability to locate your gateway. This one just have the ability to locate your gateway, do you know not? To your nature. Because this is a silent mind. Without the silent mind, the awareness, you cannot locate your nature. This one has to come about, then very stable. Then you can locate your nature. Then when you locate your nature, you go in, you cultivate the no mark. Until this understanding becomes very, very profound, very stable, then what happens is, your nature by then also develop already. Then the mundane mind will collapse. When the mundane mind collapse, that true nature will shine forth. This is the form and mind with that true mind, the true nature that shine forth, he will have this ability to live life without dwelling. That's why this one, the mind, the true mind, is always in sati, because there is no mundane mind. That nature shine forth, is constantly aware. And this is the one that has no center, spacious awareness without center. Then when it live life, it can arise specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness, it's just awareness and the nature as one. And this is where the great beings, the Buddha, when they come, they use this mind. Can follow. Yeah. So today, because there is condition, so I share this. So this is a very profound teaching. And this is the teaching that is linked to winning. That's why the Diamond Sutta and this Platform Sutta, they are very, very closely knitted. You know why or not? How did Huining become enlightened? After hearing what? That's how the teaching comes. Then when he meet the fifth patriarch, he gave him the final link. What was it? You must know how to use this mind, which is the mundane mind, and yet not be deceived by it. That make him fully enlightened. And that is what the Heart Sutta meant by when you realize true emptiness, sen kong miao yu, then life become wonderful. And this is how to use that mind. And the whole of the Diamond Sutta teach you all this. But how can living being understand? You remember when I started the Tuesday class, Diamond Sutta, first thing I tell you is what? There is no real teaching inside there, no Dhamma. It only teach you how to cultivate. Cultivate until your mind become like that. Where got Dhamma when you say cultivate until no thought? Got Dhamma or not? There is no Dhamma at all, isn't there? He said, you must cultivate until this stage, no thought. Then no mark. He never discard any of the essential Dhamma, you know. Then no dwelling. I can tell you, a lot of cultivators cannot understand what this teaching is all about. Because it's way beyond their ability to fathom. You can't even complete the sinhood way, you can't even know what the true mind is, then how can you develop further than that? You can have a lot of Dhamma, a lot of theory, but you can never realize the true teaching. Yeah. Then they don't even know that you got two mind. Understand? And they don't even know that that mundane mind is not real. That's why self-delusion trap you in that thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, dependent originating mind. And all this, they cannot understand. That's why they cannot even explain to you and use specific term to describe to you that this is your mundane mind, this is your thinking mind, condition arising mind. And that, without thought, is your true mind. Cannot, because they don't even really understand. They don't even really understand what sati is. That's why this teaching is not easy to come by, not easy to fathom, comprehend or understand, unless you have the good karmic affinity, the good karmic nature, which most of you have. That's why I say you are not ordinary. You have your past, but you don't know. You will awaken soon. And when it happens, you will have a lot of joy. Your nature become different. Then if you determine and follow that book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, just do the essential thing, then your future is all taken care of. And in future, when you choose to come or have to come, your nature got no more problem. And this is what the teaching is all about. And this is what the understanding is all about. And when you have this understanding, you progress very fast. You become very different. It's not the person, your nature. Okay? You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 因为 this one can return to you. Thank you so much. Yeah? Then there is another part, you remember? We saw this 六九四. 六九四 is on the left hand side of the pillar. Oh yeah, correct, this word. Can you write down the other one? 人心、天心、禅心、心心相应，应在菩提心。there, at the side here. Straight down. This one also very beautiful. Sing sing xiang ying, ying zai pu ti sing. Now my, somebody will help you.菩提怎样写？菩啊，对 ，Thank you so much. Yeah, sadhu, this is very good. Okay. Thank you. Sadhu. Those who know Mandarin, can we read together? 人心、天心、禅心、心心相应，应在菩提心。How many of you know the meaning? This one you know 啦，人心 you know 啦，Who want to try explain this one? Tammy was there that time. You were there with us, isn't it? You cannot remember this one. The green color one on the pillar there at the last 六九四. Yeah, the 药师佛 there. Remember the last temple we went to after the eight stupa, that lady took us up. There on your left hand side, you're supposed to go there and I don't know, souvenir or what inside there. Then I saw on the pillar outside this one. Then I straight away to speak to Ng B and Pama Sri there. I said, this is beautiful. Even Alicia was there. Anybody want to try? Yeah, give it a try. It should be good for you. You can give it a try. Otherwise, straight away I explain, you will not get it so deeply. You give it a try. Don't worry about right and wrong. What is 人心? English. Sorry. Tamasri, very good. Here's the
人
心
mind. 人心 is our true mind.
Oh, 天心. No. No, the human mind.
Human mind. 天心 is the nature.
No. 天心 is the heavenly mind, the divine. Never mind, continue.
禅心 is a
meditative mind.
Meditative mind. Then these three mind, 心心相印 means together, oneness.
Not oneness. 心
心相印 is together.
You still finally has to come back
to the body mind.
Come back to the body mind. 相印 means match. Very profound. But good try. Thank you so much.
Actually, this is a对联来的.
There's another side. But that side not important. This side is more important. Because 人心 means human mind. Human mind means what? This is the mundane human being's mind. 人心. Where you start your cultivation with that. Correct or not? Thought based.Then after you cultivate as a human being, most people don't even cultivate. That's why 人心. They just live a normal life of delusion, heedlessness. Then those who meditate, they normally go for Tianxing to take birth in the heaven, heavenly realm. Yeah. So they cultivate thought-based meditation to reach the heaven. So this one cultivate jhana, concentration, thought-based meditation, si chan ba ding, the four form realm and four plus realm. So you can take birth in the Brahma realm, in the heavenly realm, deva realm, and even in the formless realm. Yeah. Then if you meditate chan sing, siu chan, means you develop Zen, Zazen meditation, then you will realize the true mind. Understand that? But whatever mind you do, you say, all this mind must converge. Ren sing, tian sing, chan sing, sing sing xiang ying, means all this mind must match. Xiang ying zai nali? Ying zai pu ti sing. And what is pu ti sing? Bohi mind of enlightenment. And this is the Bohi mind that you're supposed to plant, understand or not? To go the Bodhisattva way, this is the first stage of Bohi mind development. Develop the resolve, the faith, the sincerity to plant the seed of Bohi. That's why the moment you start here, you are already on the way. Otherwise, you are wasting time up here, understand or not? Even the fellow say he cultivates Zen is still wasting time, you understand or not? If they don't ying zai pu ti sing, if they don't plant the seed of Bohi, they are still wasting time. And this one can take you to the sainthood way, then finish. But if you want to go the full Bodhisattva way to comprehend and understand everything, you must have the Bohi mind. What is Bohi mind? Bohi is enlightenment. The mind that develops enlightenment. That's why you have to plant the seed of Bohi. That's it. So this is a very beautiful saying to remind cultivator, whatever you do in the 31 plane, you have to go back to the Bohi mind to plant the seed of Bohi, to walk this way, to take the three sets of pure precept and four basic vow of a Bodhisattva, so that you can develop the cultivation following the advice of the Buddha. Now you can follow. So we saw all this beautiful Dhamma there, and there are a lot more. But these are the important ones that I identify and share with some of the Kayamita. So today is the first Six Patriot Platform Sutta. I had this intention to share all this with the class, where this is the class studying this sutta, and you have the affinity and the condition. That's why this one has to come out. And I hope it's recorded. If it's not recorded, too bad. But I saw the light there. No blinking one, how about? No blinking means pause or what? I want to look at that clock.
I want to see the clock. Oh yeah, recording.
Yeah, sadhu, recording. I saw 3:50, 51, 52. So you are good condition. Once this one recorded, very easy for you to cultivate. Understand? You go back and listen to this and that. This one you must listen and listen and listen again. Yao Shi Fo's teaching. This one, the abbot was his lineage, Yao Shi Fo. So when you go for spiritual trip, you are heedful, aware, you can be mindful of many things. And the nature, they're very beautiful. Everywhere we go, that nature was so beautiful. Yeah. So this is the part that I want to share with you all. then you can develop the understanding. Okay. Any question? Do you have any question? Huh? You don't have any questions? Anybody wants to clarify anything or ask anything or share anything? You don't have, huh? Then we go on. Huh? I need a drink, huh? Okay. What is it? Huh? Oh, Sue was here. Wow, Sado. Huh? So. Oh, okay. That's good. We have time. Huh? Who want to share? Come. Huh? Those who went for the spiritual trip. Huh? Queenie want to share. Hey, Pastor Queenie. Sado. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalayamita. Actually, this is my first spiritual trip with Brother Teo to China.
Sado.
Which I enjoy very, very much. And it also give me more faith.
Oh, Sado. Very
That's
good.
How I feel.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Now I'm more diligent.
Oh. Your faith strengthened. Huh?
Yeah. And I love all the temples we went.
Yeah, all those temples were beautiful. Yeah.
They were really very fantastic
architecture. Yeah.
And all the, what you call it, the Buddha statues.
The images.
All the images, they are so colorful.
They are
so huge. It's really magnificent. And actually, the place was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Overall.
And you can feel it with your heart when you are there.
And the weather was so kind to us.
Yeah, the weather,
We don't have a drop of rain.
Yeah.
9 days. The last day when we were coming back.
Going to the airport.
There was slight drizzle. That's all.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I would like to go for another spiritual trip.
Sadhu. Yeah, very good.
I had good roommates.
We are so happy
together.
Yeah.
Especially Soim and Man Yen.
They are
so understanding.
Yeah, and helpful.
So helpful. They help me so much.
Yeah, they also help Madam or Mrs. Ho. The two of them, good appetite for food and so much joy. These are the two oldest or most elderly Kayamita among us.
I don't really understand a lot of Mandarin, but I'm trying my best to learn slightly more to get a better understanding. So I think that's all I have to share.
Thank you so much. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Oh, very good. Anybody else? PG. PG will share some. It's on already. Just speak direct into it. Push all the way up.
Hello.
Good
afternoon, Brother Teo. Steel and all brothers and sisters.
Sisters in the Dhamma.
In the Dhamma. To me, for me, this trip is like, you know, when we read, when we learn the Dhamma in the book and all that, it's very different when you go to the place, you know, and.
Just speak into it.
Yeah.
It's
and
okay,
You can see the temple itself in relation to it. Being English speaking, of course, a lot of times I cannot even remember the name of the temple or even the place. But a few places make an impression on me. I think I've shared with others in the tour. One of them that which I did not mention was there is one Huining's statue on the outside of the temple. I think it's the one that we had to, after this temple, we had to walk all the way up to the meditation hall.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? I came out from that place, yeah. A lot of they all have already gone up. So I was very hasty, and I came to the statue itself. I just bow and pray, and I was about to walk off, and this thing just came to me and said, "Kneel down."
Oh, sadhu, sadhu.
So of course, I kneel down and silent myself and just make an aspiration.
Oh, sadhu.
So
very good.
As I was making my aspiration, these words just came. The ones that we always chant before the opening of the sutta.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came like
yeah.
profound
verse.
Knowledge.
I
receive and uphold it.
Yeah.
And I vow the phantom that Tathagata's true
deep
meaning.
Yeah.
It really strikes me a lot.
Sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Yeah, this is very rare. Very rare. Then do you want to share the other part? Where you make aspiration to meet up with those great people.
Oh, yeah.
he shared with us that night at the room.
Yeah, the night before we left for KL.
Yeah.
This one is in one of the temples, and I was making this aspiration to Hui Ning that life after life, I would like to meet a teacher like Master Hui Ning. Before I could even finish this, and a voice came to me. It was very clear, very clear. You already have one now. Thank you, brother.
That's right. Your nature will know. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu,
sadhu.
Your nature will know. And sometimes in cultivation, it is about your heart, your sincerity. Yeah. Like I remember PG used to tell me, he said, "Brother Teo, I banana one. I don't like China one." Last time people talk about karma, dharma, she don't like one. She avoid one. Then don't know what happened. Suddenly, she just give it a try. Then after she come, when she come to my class, she starts to develop understanding and change. Then after that, he wants to give it a try, China trip. Because he last time doesn't know Mandarin. She doesn't like to really go to China. And you never know, because this is what your mundane mind, the conditioning, the perception, the karmic, what they call conditioning, they will come and block you because of certain things. Causes and conditions on the path. But luckily she has faith, she persevere. Then inside her nature can feel. Then when she starts to give it a try and move into all this, that's why even the Mahayana teaching, she not only can accept, she can suddenly like understand. Then when on this trip, there was so much joy. Then she became like very, very adept to China trip. No more like last time. Keep on complaining. Don't have Mandarin guy. English guy. All those things. So luckily these two guys also not too bad. The first guy from Guangzhou, he got limited Dhamma understanding. His English is not bad. But because of his limited Dhamma understanding, he can only translate up to the level he understand. So he translate not the Dhamma language, he translate the direct Mandarin meaning to English, and sometimes you can laugh because he's totally out. But we knew. But he was willing to learn. That's why we had a lot of joy. Then we gave him opportunity. Then there were conditions. Then I gave him one book too, the seminar book in Bangkok, the international seminar. Then we teach him many things, advise him many things. Then in our bus sharing, he also learned many things, and he's very keen to learn. Then the next one is the one in Guilin, where we didn't visit that many temples. But his English is good. His English is good. So because there was not much, little or no temple, then he didn't really got a chance to express those translations. But his English is much better than the first one. And we find him interesting too. So because of that, actually, I believe PG find it like more at home. And all along the trip, you can see their joy, their happiness, and all those things. And our hotel was very good until the last 2 days. Actually, not too bad, but the aircon a bit of a problem. But all along, all the food and hotel were very good. Then there was one hotel. In the itinerary, they say 4-star. But when we stay, it was 6-star. I tell you, very spacious and beautiful new hotel. Dongfang, don't know what, I forgot already. So when you go into that room, the master bedroom was so big, very, very big. Then they got this wardrobe. It's not an ordinary wardrobe. It's like a walk-in wardrobe. Then they got the bath. Wow. You got the long bath, you got the shower, you got the WC, you got all the basin, mirror, everything. It was so luxurious. Then I told the Kayamita at that night, the sharing, I said, if there is condition for you to have all these good things, use it. Do not be shy. If you have the condition and the means, pamper yourself a little bit, your form and mind. Because this form and mind, I tell you, it may not last that long. So you never know. So if there's condition to have all these things, thank your good karma, count your good blessing, rejoice. And use it. Feel it when you are there. Understand? Be heedful, be mindful. Then there is also a lot of this, what they call, wen quan. In English, you call what? What was it? Hot spring. So, I remember Ingvi showed me all the photos, we went with a group of them, Tammy, they soak inside there. It was really an experience, really feel very good. Then I also have one in my room. So I went with my wife. We only soak our leg. We don't have the chance to go in. We were thinking after the sharing we used, but after you are left a bit late already. So it was okay. But overall it was beautiful. This Mr. Was very good. And what I like is he composed all our photo and our video. The son did it for him. And he put it into one running video, like slideshow and video. And it turned out so nice. That's why those who didn't go, you should own it and have a look. This is just a absurd. They call absurd. Absurd or small part of all those photo taken and video taken. But there were many other things we couldn't put in. But the recording is good. This time, I think. I haven't heard. Jin Hao, how's the recording? Good, huh? I know. I don't have the time to. I think more or less it's okay. Tomorrow I will do it. Or tonight I will do it. Then I reply to you. Then you can see all this talk. They are very good. The talk are very good. I make it a point this time so that the talk won't become like last time. Last time, no date, no time, nothing. You don't know which day or so. So everything can become like muddled up. Then I come to realize this problem because our early years, Cameron Highland retreat talk, where there were so many days, so many sessions. So by the time Brother Sui An, through his great effort, he put all this together and into a pen drive. When I listen, like heck has a one, jump here, jump there, jump everywhere. Then I realized the mistake was me, where I didn't read the date. Then I didn't specify the topic that we were sharing. So this time, I started with day two, I think. We're day one when we arrived, very tired, late already. So day two, I even mentioned the temple we went to, then what we did. And all. So from that sharing, you will learn many things. Then you will have a good understanding of what spiritual trip is all about. And you can get to rejoice many, many things. The first 5 days was good. Then the 6th, 7th, and I think the 8th day is more for the driver. Sorry, not driver. The guide, I think, the guy. And some are for Mr. And the wife. They did a good job. And this time around, we normally show our appreciation. We give like a token of tips to driver, the English translator, the Tao Yu. There were 2 sessions, one in Guangzhou and one in Guilin. Then normally we also offer to Mr. And the wife. That this year he was so full of joy, he offered back the red packet to our Kayanamita Fund. That's why we get to rejoice. Then he was so happy, he learned so many things. This trip he even know how to pronounce sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There was so much joy. Then anything good, they were sadhu, sadhu. Including that guy. That guy was the most cute. The first guy from English speaking Canton. He was so cute. You know what he said? He said he has brought a lot of this Malaysian group. He said they come for spiritual trip, not like you all. You all are very different. He said that one is prayer one, pai pai for all. He said that one not like you all, with the understanding, with the faith, the devotion. Then you all do it very properly. They all want come and pray on, pai pai for all. We pray for luck, pray for money, pray for whatever. So bye bye for. Then he said he got this intention. Next time they come, I will tell them, your this bye bye for is wrong. We should do like what the other group do. We understand. Then I say, please don't. You say that they are wrong, they're very unhappy. So I help her. It's all in the recording. I say, you should talk to them nicely. Do you want to improve on what you are doing or not? What you are doing is the normal one, the traditional Chinese tradition, where they go to temple, develop the faith, pay respect, then make offering, then like pai pai for, ask for merits and all those things. There are a lot of superstition. Sometimes they say this is the special Buddha or Bodhisattva that can give you wisdom, give you luck. Then some can give you baby, he give birth to baby. Oh, they believe, they go and touch, they make offering. So I say you teach them to go one step further to improve themselves, to learn the teaching, to make proper offering with understanding. Then when they have the faith, the sadha, the virya, then they can develop the understanding of the cultivation. There is more meaning in what you do. Then your offering become more meaningful. Then they get to develop better understanding that will help them to improve their cultivation. Then learn the essential Dhamma, then put it to practice, cultivate the teaching. Then become true Buddhists, worthy of the Buddha. To be worthy of the Buddha, to call yourself Buddhist, you must at least follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind and all those things. So So these are all shared in the recording. So hopefully after tonight, I edit it tomorrow, Chinhao can upload it into our website. Go to our website, they are all there. Then we will also send it out through the WhatsApp. Okay, thank you so much, PG. Can.
Virtue. Yeah. I think this is something I would like to share with
very good.
Others. Before I went for the trip, every day I pray for the causes and conditions to be able to go for this trip. I somehow feel that I have affinity with the teachings of Hui Ning. And during the second temple that we went to, I think it's Nanhua Temple.
Nanhua Temple,
yeah.
Yes.
As I prayed to the statue of Hui Ning,
yeah.
I cried so much.
I just
let go. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I cry.
Yeah, the tears just come and flow.
The one thing I understand during this time was there was so much regret that I did not finish my cultivation.
Yeah, in the past, yes.
So I would like to advise my fellow brothers and sisters not to let this opportunity let go, and then in a few eons you'll be facing the same thing as I do, crying and regretting.
Sadhu. Let's rejoice. Sadhu. That's why this nature has been stressing to you many times. Don't allow this window to slip by again. It's a very rare window, like you read the opening verse. It's very difficult to encounter this type of teaching. Then not only PG has the tears and other things, I think our group, a lot, have great affinity with Hui Ning. Otherwise, this spiritual tree wouldn't come about. I explain them all inside the sharing. Because there were causes and conditions before we go. The first time when Pamasuri suggested to me, I said, no need. We already gone to all the four famous way places. Then we went to Puthosan twice. I said, no need. You don't just go because the thought want to go. Here we are doing six patriarch platform sutta. Then I say, unless there is condition. Then later on, very funny, you know, all the conditions just arise. You know, I share with you all. End of 2014 onward, you know, then a lot of things start to move. You know, the request for the bodhisattva way. You know, then the book come out. You know, cultivating the bodhisattva. People volunteer to transcribe it out. You know. Then after the transcript came, the draft, I read through. Then I realized, hey, I spoke so much. It can be compiled into a book. It is meant to be. We have all the teaching that has to come out, just come out. Then it all arrived because of that request by those group who wanted the bodhisattva way. And simultaneously, that time, all the things come. Then Hui Rong Tuesday class requested for the Diamond Sutta. Then Miss Lee also requested Diamond Sutta. I said, no, this nature cannot teach the same teaching, Diamond Sutta, at two places. So I asked her to choose another one. Then she chose the Platform Sutta. That's how it's meant to be. And these two sutta match. And the teaching was so beautiful. Then when this nature realized what happened, I straight away told my wife, then when we met Pamasuri, I said, go ahead and organize. It's like it's meant to be. Then many other things happened. People talk to me too. Then the condition just arise. Then after that, we make the decision. Then more and more things happen. Then before we go, I already knew that a lot of things will happen. That's why when we were there, a lot of the Kayamita that has the affinity inside, their nature responded, like PG's case. Then when we were at the Da Xiong Chan Si, that huge, what they call, Sifang Sanshen Hall, where the great beings, the three beautiful statues are. Then they got this music which was playing there, Amitabha Buddha, Guan Yin Bodhisattva, and Pa Si Zi Pusa. You go in, you can feel almost all the Kayamita feel. Even our tour guide, Mr. And the wife and the English guy, he can feel. And he shared with us his meditation experience. Last time he did not meditate on, he didn't want to meditate on. First time, first 1 minute also cannot sit. You go and listen, it's all in the recording. And finally, the next two he sat with us. The second one was for 5 minutes. Then the third one, on the last Liu Chu Si, at the last temple we were at, Guangdong or Canton, before he leave us, he managed to sit for 45 minutes. And his description was so good, then I knew he got Hui Gen, he got Dhamma roots, wisdom root from the past. That's why he can be our Tao Yu and he can be part of our spiritual tree. And he learned very fast. And his experience was beautiful. For him to go through all those things, he must have his past. That's how all this will fall into place. Then many people will move to tears. Then they just silence their mind because they can feel the vibration, their nature, the energy is all very different. And it was so beautiful. That's why, like PJ said, not until you have experienced all this, you may not understand. When you are there, it's different. But nevertheless, you can get to rejoice. And you can get to understand all this through the listening to the recording. The recording is very beautiful. So with that, maybe I will end my part. Anybody else want? Pama Sri, you want to share? Okay.
Actually, it's just a little bit about our second guide. He actually didn't have long enough time with us. At the airport, I went to say a word of thank you to him. He told me, I can feel your group is very special. He said, 你们 很有爱心，很特别，但是这一团很有爱心，很特别的一团，他这样跟我讲。Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He know. He will know.
His time with us is too short.
Yeah, too short. That's why not like the first guy. The first guy spent 5 solid days with us, and he was so happy. Oh, Manja want to share. Okay, let Manja share. Yeah.
Brother Theo.
Yeah.
Followed you for a few other trips.
Yeah.
So this trip, I actually tried to practice because you always
cultivate. Heedfulness.
Heedfulness and try to silence the mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I really tried doing that in the airport.
Very good.
And then when we were flying.
Yeah.
So when we were at the airport, because when we went that time, the mind was moving, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So once I was seated on the plane, I meditated.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. But now I look back, I can realize, but at that time, I didn't really realize.
Yeah, you may not know.
Yeah.
But when you recollect, you will know. Very good.
So when I recollect, actually the mind did settle.
Yes, in the plane. Because the nature, the energy was so strong.
Yeah.
Oh.
It become very calm.
Yeah, still.
Nothing.
No,
like,
need to have anything. Why you want to have anything? The one that want anything is the thought. Understand now? So don't worry. That's why I say, don't try to know. Just silent.
Yeah.
Then the nature will feel it, and it will be very, very different. The stillness, the nature is very different. Even at the airport itself, it's really like that. And we took the flight. It's even more intense, more strong. Because there are a lot of things happening which a lot of Kayamita may not know. But later on, as you cultivate until your nature can understand, can know, then you can feel them. You can understand what is going on. You can have the joy and all these things. is meant to be. Like I sometimes hint to you all, before we go, they already expecting us. Understand or not? There is so much joy waiting for us. The Dhamma protector, the special beings. Oh, PG got something to share. Yeah.
Pratyu, since you mentioned that, can I ask you during our last day sharing at your room?
Yeah.
I feel there is something very special going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The energy was just
exceptional.
Fantastic. And I noticed that when we do the what do you call that?
Transfer of merit.
Transfer of merit.
I did it three times.
Yes. That is very unusual.
I asked you to explain
what happened.
No, because my nature can feel the Dhamma protectors are very, very happy out there, full of joy, and they were rejoicing like anything. That's how you remember all the temple I go to, I tell you all to pay respect to Weitao Fusa. He is the bodhisattva that hate the Dhamma protector. And the lady, one of the temple lady, explained to us the three type of the three way he hold the sword have different meaning. So their nature are very strong everywhere. Then Hui Ning, Kuan Ying, and all the great beings' nature, they were there and they were full of joy. That's why that sharing I shared three times. So sadhu to you, you notice it. Very good, sadhu. Because normally my nature don't do all these things unless there is condition. Then the condition was tight, I can feel them. They're full of joy. And that place, the room was very small actually. The aircon was not so good. And yet there was such condition. That's why you cultivate diligently, you have the faith, develop your training, your true mind. You will become very sensitive too. And you will understand a lot of this. Then like I said, by the time you have this all stabilized, developed, then when you make the vow, the aspiration, everything, then from now onward, whether the Buddha Sasana is there or no Buddha Sasana, your Bodhi seed or the Bodhi mind that you have planted will nurture, will flourish, and will take you along by itself. And during this period, after this, whether got sasana or no sasana, your form and mind that come, whether you have to come or you choose to come, the Dhamma will unfold. The causes and conditions that you have developed in this life, this window, will start to nurture and manifest. And you will become very different. And your segmented life, life after life from now onward, will become very different. But you vow to have this understanding, never to debate. And like PG came to know in the past, many of you all, actually, because you lack this teaching, when there is no more sasana, your form and mind get lost again. Then, because the sasana is just a short slot within the period of no sasana, like we divide the four Sammasambuddha over 10 billion years, it was almost 2.5 billion years per sasana. So if 2.5 billion years per sasana, you only have sasana for 4,500 years or 5,000 years. That window is so small. So the other 2.49 something billion years, where do you go? I don't know. You ask yourself, where do you go? You could have gone round and round and round. There is a song there. Round and round the... What? There is this song there. Suffering world. Oh, suffering world, you may not... What already? You may not come back again. Down and down you go. So all this, you don't know what will happen. But if you make it a point to have this understanding, that no matter what happens, that Bodhi seed that you have planted, the Bodhi mind, will nurture itself and create causes and conditions for the understanding to come back to your form and mind. Then you will know how to diligently cultivate again. Then you will become different. Yeah. Like this life, when I was born, I tell you, I know next to nothing. Born in a very rural area, small town. Then my parents very simple, not educated. Yeah. But it know what to do. The condition just arrive. Then a lot of things just happen. Then when the time comes, it probe, it starts to move. Then even before that, a lot of things happen. My nature inside there, that time I don't know what this thing is. But I can still recollect and recall what happened during those times. Then it's like inside it, no, that cannot be. This has to do with my past. Otherwise, I cannot be seeing all this and understanding all this. Then later on, as it unfolds, then this nature recollect and recall back. That's how the law of karma works and functions. That's what nature's law is. That's how all the Dhamma, I hardly learn from anybody. This nature, just the moment it hear, someone English educated, but the moment it hear truth, it just understand. That's it. That's why in future you will be like that. Then your nature will become very different. So in the future, when you hit the next asana, if you cultivate this way, with this understanding, your nature will become very different. Then maybe you can understand the Hui Ning's three essence, the three essence of his teaching. Oh, if that is the case, then my nature rejoice. Really, sattu yo. Then maybe in future, we have causes and conditions to cross path again. Then a lot of things can happen. Then you all will have the understanding and the joy. Then maybe we may not meet on the earthly rhyme. Then there will be special rhyme for our nature to meet. And all these are possible. You all may not know. But when things happen, you will be surprised, amazed. You look at PG, doesn't know Mandarin, banana. The good thing about her is she has faith. That's it, finish. Then things just happen. The moment you have doubt, very difficult. Then don't try to know. That one is all from the top, always from the top. Just be sincere. Have faith. Then just do, persevere. That's why these three things will take you along. And the Dhamma will just unfold by itself and it will become so beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much. Let's rejoice with their sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I realize we haven't started the text. Okay. Maybe we skip the meditation for today. I will go into the text now. Sutta. Vata asks further, the Lotus Sutta say, if everyone from the Savaka up, you know what is Savaka or not? Yeah? Savaka. You all don't know this word? Sound hearer, yes. Sunwen. The Theravada call it the sound hearer. They listen to the proclamation of the Dhamma and they awaken. Means those who awaken to the teaching of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, they are called Savaka. Up to the Bodhisattvas were to exhaust all their thought in order to measure the Buddha's wisdom, they still could not fathom it. So he quote this part of the Diamond Sutta. Lotus Sutta. Yeah, thank you for correcting me. Yeah. Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. This one is also another very special sutta, very wide the topic. It's about the Bodhisattva way too. Then he said, now you cause common people merely to understand their own mind. What is this mind? Yeah? To understand their own mind. What is this mind? Yeah? What is this mind? Ah, mundane mind. Very good. And you call that the knowledge and vision of the Buddha. Because of this, I'm afraid that those without superior qualities or faculties will not be able to avoid doubting and slandering the Sutta. Now you understand. Yeah? You understand why people doubt and slander the Sutta. Especially even this civilization of ours. That's why you don't simply comment and hit out. Especially those on the Theravada tradition. Because they couldn't fathom. Then they want to comment. Then they will do all this. You see, that sutta say, the Lotus Sutta say, if everyone know, from Savaka up to the Bodhisattva, were to exhaust all their thought, means you are using your thought, understand not? In order to measure the Buddha's wisdom, they still could not fathom it. Why? Because you use thought. Do you understand? Now you cause common people merely to understand their own mind. And you call that knowledge and vision. You know what is knowledge or not? Yeah? Because that Dhamma that they understand, they thought is knowledge and vision of the reality. They thought that is wisdom of the Buddha. Because of this, I'm afraid that those without superior faculty, means you don't have your understanding from your cultivation, will not be able to avoid doing what? Doubting and they will go and slander the sutta and say this one is not the Theravada Sutta. The Buddha never teach this. I tell you, if you are not up to that level of understanding, please have an open mind. Never do that. The sutta also speak of the three cuts. How do the sheep, deer and the ox cut differ from the white ox cut? Yeah. I pray the High Master will once again instruct me. Then the Master said, this is what Hui Ning's answer is. The sutta's meaning is clear. You yourself are confused. Disciples of all the three vehicles are unable to fathom the Buddha's wisdom. The fault is in their thinking and measuring means what? Judgment. Measure. Measure means you measure right and wrong, understand? No? Then you comment. So that is the problem. So disciples of all these three vehicles are unable to fathom the Buddha's wisdom. The fault is in their thinking and measuring. The more they think, what happened? The further away they go. So what is thinking? Thinking is sankara, understand? Sankara is mental activity. When you do that, you can't even reach the silent mind. Do you understand? The more you think, the more you are drifted away. Because you can't have that silent mind to be aware. So how can you learn? What you learn is all rubbish, which is knowledge. Or they call Dhamma in inverted comma. From the start, the Buddha speak for the sake of common people, not for the sake of other Buddhas. Those who choose not to believe were free to leave the assembly. See? This is informal. No compulsion. It's up to you. Not knowing that they were sitting in the white ox cart, they saw the three vehicles outside the gate. You understand? What is more, the sutta text clearly tell you there is only the one Buddha vehicle. That's why don't go and divide. No other vehicle. They got Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, and all the Yana, Yana, Yana. All the vehicle. But the Buddha teach the Dhamma, that's it. Whether two or three and the same is true for countless expedient ways, for various causes and conditions, and for analogies and rhetoric. All these Dhamma are for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle. So now, hopefully, you can understand. Eh? Because if you don't seek within your nature with the true mind, you cannot fathom the Tathagata's wisdom and understanding. Then you seek outside the gate, means what? Huh? Seek outside the gate, means what? Means you are not using your true mind to develop the meditation. You can also explain it, the gateway, means you don't go the Bodhisattva way. You seek outside the gate, means using the mind. You may hit the true mind, but you cannot touch the gateway. You cannot go in. You cannot develop the Bodhisattva way. Okay, then we have the commentary. We will go through the commentary. The Lotus Sutta said, if the world were filled with those like Sariputta, exhausting their thought to measure the Buddha's wisdom, they couldn't fathom it. You see, Sariputta is already the foremost in wisdom. Among the disciples of the Buddha, he is the chief disciple, foremost in wisdom. So he said, even if the world were filled with those like Sariputta, exhausting their thought, because they use thought to measure the Buddha's wisdom, they couldn't fathom it. Vata questioned the master, Sariputta was the wisest among the Buddha's disciples. Now if you fill the entire universe with Sariputta, and they all try to fathom the Buddha's wisdom, they wouldn't be able to do it. Great Master, how can you say that when common people merely understand their own mind, they are open to the knowledge and vision of the Buddha? So this is Vata's question. Understand? Well, he read the Diamond Sutta without understanding. So he wanted clarification from the sixth patriarch. So the sixth patriarch's teaching is very simple. He points direct to the true mind. Meaning what? Meaning you don't have to go through the mundane mind. That's why he say, how can you say that when common people merely understand their own mind, means this is the true mind, they are open to knowledge and vision of the Buddha, means the true understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. I'm afraid that unless one has supreme wisdom and good roots, one couldn't avoid slandering the sutta. Please be compassionate and tell us how the sheep and the deer cut differ from the white ox cut. The master said, the sutta is perfectly clear on this point. The Savaka, Pacheka Buddha and Bodhisattva cannot know the Buddha's wisdom simply because they do try to measure it. All of measurement, thinking is by the thought. That's why they can't. If their mind do not have such calculating thought, they could understand it. The Buddha spoke sutta for common people, not for Buddhas. If you don't believe the sutta, you can get up and down. Sorry, you can get up and walk out as you please, because you lack faith. What is more, there is only one Buddha vehicle. There are no other vehicle. Without two, the Savaka and the Pacheka Buddhas, or three, Savaka, Pacheka, and Bodhisatta, or any numbers of parable, causes and conditions, and unaccountable expedient devices, all are spoken for the sake of one Buddha vehicle. So this part Fatha cannot understand. Where he still uses thought, logical thinking, to ask that same question. Then we go on. Then Hui Ning told him, why don't you wake up? The three cards are false because they are preliminary, expedient way. The one vehicle is real because it is the immediate present. You are merely taught to go from the false and return to the real. Once you have returned to reality, the real is also nameless. That's why you cannot attach to Dhamma. You should know that all the treasure and wealth is ultimately your own, for your own use. Do not think further of the Father nor the Son, nor of the use. That is called maintaining the Dhamma Flower Sutta, Lotus Sutta or Dhamma Flower Sutta. Then from aeons to aeons, your hand will never let go of the scroll. From morning to night, you will recite it unceasingly. Fatha received this instruction and overwhelmed with joy. Then he spoke a verse. 3,000 sutta recitation means what he has done last time. At how to pronounce Tao Xia. Not one single word. Oh, we visited Tao Xia. He said, at Tao Si, not one single word. Before I knew why he appeared in the world, how could I stop the madness of accumulated birth? Sheep, deer, and ox provisionally set up, beginning, middle, and well set for. Who would have thought that within the burning house, originally the king of Dhamma dwell? It's something like his poem, isn't it? Originally, there was nothing. That's why you search everywhere. It's just like Krishnamurti say. What happened if the searcher is the search? Your true nature is looking for your true nature. But they use the wrong instrument to search. They use the thought to search. You are searching for the unborn, isn't it? The unconditioned, isn't it? Nibbana, isn't it? The enlightened state, isn't it? So your true nature is already dead. So the searcher is the search. Because you never realize that you are dead. So what happens is you cling to what? You cling to the unreal. The provisional setup or the teaching of the three card and the sana. It's just like you think the mundane mind is you. You think this form and mind is you. That's why you cannot find. When you cease all this, what happens? When you understand that the form and mind is not you, that mundane mind is not you, then what happened? Because these are nature's condition arising dhamma. Yi qie yu wei fa. Zu meng huan tao ying. Ru lu yi lu tian. Ying zuo ru si guan. When you understand this, what happened? Mr. Form and mind is not me. Understand? The mundane mind is also not me. Then what is that true nature? You have to silence everything. go through the cultivation again, the three essence of Huining's teaching. Then you suddenly come to the understanding that originally that true nature is 本来的面目, you understand? Originally it was already like that. Nothing has changed. That's why he say, you created the false, and the false look for the real, then end up coming back. You understand? Originally it was that true nature. That's why each year you wave. From there everything arises. Then you get lost, understand not? Chasing after the unreal, the mundane mind, the form and mind, the birth and death. Then finally you end up searching for what? For the real. For the unconditioned. Then you realize it was there all the while, no need to search. So what are you doing? Are you the searcher? When you realize the searcher is the search, then no need to search. Understand how? Just stay. Don't do anything. That's why this sutta, Huining say, originally the king of Dhamma just dwell. Understand? That is what it is. Who would have thought that within the burning house, originally the king of Dhamma just all the while was there? No, you understand? Huh? Can follow? Your true nature all the while was there. You understand? So meditation is about what? What is meditation all about? To realize that true mind. And how to realize? The moment you are without thought, it was there all the time. Do you have to search? If you don't arise any thought, that true mind exists. But it was there all the time. It's only because you don't know what that is, you go and create sankhara, thinking, activity of mind. That's why you lost. Lost in thought. Lost in all the thinking. Views, opinion, conditioning, argument. And this is the phenomenal, the conditional. That's why if you cannot see via the direct seeing the unreality of the phenomenal, you will forever be trapped in the phenomenal. Where you give meaning. And the phenomenal to you is so real. Everything is so real, so solid. Through consciousness, then you come and test. Wow, how can this be unreal? Why the Buddha say unreal? Huh? Or you may even say, why breath you say unreal? So solid. I can feel myself. I am so real. Why he say unreal? Because you cannot reach that silence. When you reach that silence, you remember that guy from Guangzhou. He said initially he meditated. First 10 to 15 minutes, what happened to him? Sleepy like mad in there. Remember? Where he was explaining a lot of things, taking us around, tired, so sleepy. Then what happened? As he continued to persevere and just sit. Yeah? Then suddenly he realized the sleepiness is gone. Then he can become aware. No? Then he reported, no, it's all in the recording. He said, I can see my thought now, is it? Oh, then I say, sadhu. I say, what type of thought you see? He said, the unfinished business with the wife and all those things. Means the thing that he accumulated. Then all these thoughts were there, no, and he can't do anything. No. Then what happened was, because he got good root. Otherwise, you cannot see all this, understand not? This is the second time he meditate, no? Oh, sorry, third time. Second time with us, he meditate. But earlier on, before this trip, other people's trip, he go attend another session taught by other people. He taught meditation very easy. Close eye, do nothing, cross leg, meditate. When he do it, he realized he can't even sit for 1 minute. Then he realized it was so painful. Then he came to my class. He came in later, left it 5 minutes before I ring the bell. He came in. He straight away told me he can feel the stillness there, no? The silence. Then he just sit down. Then after the 5 minutes, he feels so peaceful and so calm. He want to sit now. Then he say, I ring the bell. Ding, 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 3 times. Then you know what he said? He said, my thing was so much better than last time one. Last time, kong, that one. He said, very loud. Then he said, for the first time he described, no, he felt the peace, no, the silence, no, and the stillness. That's why he knew we are different. Then later on, at the last place, Liu Chu Si, I did the sharing, then the sitting 45 minutes. Then later on, final sharing. Total almost 2 hours, I remember. So while he was there sitting, he said 15 minutes, sleepy. Then after that, the sleepiness gone. He was aware of the thought. Then after that, he persevered and silent. Then all of a sudden, he felt all this thinking subside. Gone. Then he felt the stillness, the silence, the peacefulness. All of a sudden, he felt. Then when I ring the bell after 45 minutes, you know what he said or not? He said, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what that location is also. You know what happened or not? Do you know what happened? Ayo. You meditate so long, you don't know. When you really go into the silent mind, the stillness, there is no thought, understand not? No thought means what? No memory. Completely no more memory. He completely forgot where he is. I say, sadhu, very good, I say. Then later on, I explain to him. I say, later on, you will not even know who you are. That is the best. But don't panic, eh? Don't just because brother Teo say you meditate until you don't know where you are and you don't know who you are, you panic. Well, like that, I don't want to meditate. No, it's only during that time when you meditate correctly, the thought no more. Without thought, you are nothing. You are nobody. That's why you can't even know who you are. You can't even know where that location is. But don't worry. Immediately after that, when you become conscious, your memory will come back. You will recollect, you will recall. You will not get into trouble. But that state, how can he get into it? He never meditated before. That's why I say he got awakened. And he appreciated a lot. And because he got this good heart to help people improve themselves. Then Mimi also gave her this book, no, Six Page Sutta Commentary. What full book. He was full of appreciation because he liked English book. He read a lot, isn't it? Then I gave him my seminar book. See? Somebody completely new, don't know Dhamma, and yet can have the faith and do it. Why can't you? You should be a lot better. Yeah. And this is what is happening to the world. For those who have the understanding, the roots, the affinity, the condition, they can understand very fast. And they can do it. Because most people do meditation without understanding. That's why you don't know what is going on. You meditate to look for what? Peacefulness, calmness, good meditation. True or not? You are so conditioned. If your mind is not calm, not peaceful, you don't have good meditation, you say, my meditation is no good. What is all this? This is conditioning. It means you are not investigating. You are not silencing the mind to find out. Forget about what people tell you. What is meditation? When you really do it, the understanding is completely different. It's through your own realization, your own understanding of what this mind is all about. Then you become different. Then you start to understand. Oh, no wonder. Otherwise, you panic. Like this fellow, he didn't panic. Why? Because he knew. This is part of meditation. Then when I confirmed to him, he was so happy. If he had met the wrong teacher, finish, I tell you. You know what he tell you? You know what the traditional one will tell you? This is wrong. You cannot meditate until you don't know who you are and you don't know where you are. You know what they do? Go back to that method or the technique. Go back to rising, falling. Go back to anapanasati. They think by doing that is a meditation. Actually, he did it correctly. Understand? He silenced his mind until he told me personally and the whole bus where he did his sharing. He said, first time, he said, he can feel that this mind is so different. So calm, so silent, so still. No more problem. And when he said no more problem, means what? The leg numbness at first. When he finished and he come up, he realized he forgotten the pain. No. But he realized the leg has a lot of numbness. No. Yeah. So that one, I say, later on, you know how to relax. The numbness will be gone. But the best is, he said, he was hit when he go through life. He said at one point, he reached the lowest part of his life, the app. And you know what happened? He said, at that time, he lost his job. Then the girlfriend left him. He somehow used the word, first girlfriend left him. Left him. Then the father admitted to hospital, life and death. He said, these three things hit him very hard. And he was such bad condition, it's like suicidal thought. And he said, the worst, he was born in the 70s in communist China. Their teaching, their education system, because of the Cultural Revolution in the 60s, they were taught not to believe any religion. So he got very negative point of view towards any religion, even Buddhism, Fo Chao. He don't believe. He said, the conditioning was, don't believe any of all this. Focus on what? Science and technology. Focus on materialistic progress. So he said, when he went through this, he got big problem. Then one day, he said, when he was taking people to all this tour and all that, he joined one group that went to a monastery. Then when he was at this monastery, he heard the vibration, the gong, the chanting. Then he felt calm. Then he thought, maybe this one can help. But because of the conditioning from the education, he did not go in further. He did not find out or probe further. Then our district, luckily, Padmasuri insists, where I say, the English speaking must know Dhamma. Otherwise, you cannot explain. Then according to Mr. Our local guy, local tour, he said they promised to find one. But when they got this English speaking one, they realized he don't have Dhamma one. So in the month of June only he started learning. He started reading up all this from the Baidu one. Then he only learned about the theoretical teaching, but he tried his best. Then within 3 months, he became our tour guide. So that was how it happened. And because of the condition, he was keen to learn. That's why he has all this condition. And after that three, he can feel. It's, this group is different, you know. You all are not the Pai Pai Tuan, is it? The one that pray on. You all really different, is it? Really different. That's why he has a lot of joy. And how can he develop those meditative experience and understanding? And when I explained to him later on, after I passed him the book, because he was about to leave us that evening, he was full of gratitude. He thanked me. He said, from now onward, I will go and study this teaching. He said, now I have faith that this teaching is very useful, very important. Yeah, I told him, it can change your life, destiny, your understanding. Your faith can bring forth the causes and conditions for you to become different, character-wise, personality-wise. Then later you can confront life. Even whatever hit you, you got no more problem. You will know how to have joy, happiness, and you can come out of it without problem. I say this is the beauty of the teaching. So all this, if you look at how things unfold, people who are so new, yet they can have such condition to understand this type of teaching. It's not easy, but it can be done. So, with that understanding, hopefully it can give you all the faith, the understanding. If people like that can understand and progress, what am I doing here? I should not allow this window to slip by. I should determine to do all those important things that I have been advised. Of course, you can reflect, contemplate, and develop the clear understanding that only determine and do it. The important thing is you understand and do it with understanding. Then you will become different. You will progress. Okay? So this is the part. What's the time now? Oh, I didn't finish. There's one last paragraph. Page 280. Turn to page 280. Whether two or three, and the same is true for countless expedients, for various causes and conditions, and for energy and rhetoric, all these Dhamma are for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle. Oh, okay, this one we have already covered, yes. Then the Lotus Sutta says, oh, this one also we covered, eh? We 281 already, is that it? Yeah? Something like that. Yeah, page 281 already, is that it? Ah, 282 already, yeah? Oh, yeah, the Dhamma King, King of Dhamma Dwell, yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, page 282, the last paragraph I didn't finish. Yeah, sorry. I was at the wrong page. The master said, from now on, you may be called the monk mindful of the sutra. From then on, although he understood the profound meaning, Fata continued to recite the sutta unceasingly. So, Hui Ning knew after that. He said, from now on, you may be called the monk that is mindful of the sutta. Last time he recited without understanding. That's why he is not mindful of the sutta. From now on, although he understood the profound meaning, Fata continued to recite the sutta unceasingly. Do you know why he did that or not? Yeah? It's like the heart sutta. Even though you have penetrated and understand, you still recite it. You know why? Because it's so wonderful. It's so meaningful. And you create great affinity with Kuan Yin's nature. Then you can also allow this vibration to benefit other cultivators and living beings. I still remember my nature during the early days when it has this understanding. When I travel, when I can feel all this being, my nature will sit down, relax, silent, and just radiate this understanding and share with all the beings. And at many locations, especially in Western land, Western country, when I was in Australia, New Zealand, I can feel this being. They are different. They are not the normal Dhamma. But the Dhamma protectors are there. Then this nature, when it speaks, all this can feel, they can understand. Because they know you are different. Your nature, your vibration are all different. And they can feel. And they really listen, attentively listen. And sometimes I just recite all this chanting. Then there are certain beings that like the Theravada chanting. Then there are certain beings who are maybe traditionally they are Christian before they die. So you cannot simply chant your Buddhist sutta and try to like akasatacha vumata. I tell you, the hell with you. They don't like that thing. They don't understand what you do. They think you are trying to challenge them. That happened in KK when we were there. Well, we were staying in this hostel. It was converted to a church earlier on. Then for many years, they have their church activity there. And then finally, the church closed down. They sell it off to a hostile operator. Then one of the Dharma friend, the brother who was a Christian in KK, recommended us to stay there because it was halfway between Kundasan and KK, Kinabalu. Then it was very cheap. So he thought we are one budget hotel. So it was really cheap. I think it cost us per room about 50 ringgit only at that time. Aircon. So when we were there, of course, as usual, we discussed Dhamma. Then they were having the sharing. Then for no reason, you never expect. There were two cats. One attentively sitting next to us, listening quietly. Yeah, I was mindful, I knew. Then about half an hour into the discussion, from nowhere, one other cat, very violent, came and attacked this cat. And it was so loud, like you are caught unaware. And I saw a lot of the Kayamita panic. But my nature was different, you understand. Then I sensed, this cat not happy with this cat. Because this cat was listening to the thing he understand. The other cat don't like this type of teaching. We are Christian. So the two, wow. Then I sense, then I radiate metta. And say, may all beings be well and happy. May you be well and happy. Then I silently inside talk. I say, it's not our intention to create misunderstanding. I understand there was a church before, that you all have been here before us. But we are tourists. We come here to stay for the night. And in our society, when we book the hotel, we pay for it, we have the right to stay. But we understand you are here before us. So we welcome you to stay and help protect this place. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Oh, then after that, the cat quiet. Quiet. Then the two walk off. Then I told the Kayamita, I didn't even explain all this. I said, I think we can have an early rest. We go back, then you want to walk around, you walk around, then after that, you can go back and have a rest. I think Stephanie was with us that time. Gumoy also with us. Yun Chan was the one that organized that trip to KK Kundasan. Then you know what happened that night? I went back to the room. I wanted to lie down and rest. Then after that, I was asleep. I can feel they are not happy still. A lot not happy. Then I had to silence my mind. Then I had to continue to explain. Because this must be the other, not the one at the lounge there listening to us. Then after I did the meditation and all those things, then I realized all those negativity or vibration settled down. Then I knew already. I said, okay already. I said, thank you so much. Then I slept. Then next morning, we woke up. I asked Stephanie, last night how? Then Stephanie did not say anything. Then later he explained, see, brother, first 2 hours, one of the Kayanamita, like that dream, fat ok mong. Like got people disturb her. Then he said, I also cannot sleep. But he said, very funny, after about an hour or so, suddenly all this gone. Then we can sleep. I said, okay. See, you cannot simply apply Dhamma everywhere. This non-human also may not be Buddhist. So you have to be sensitive, you have to understand. That's why I say wisdom cannot teach you, understand? You have to learn yourself, you have to find out yourself. You cannot go and quote, hey, brother Teo, last time say you go church, you be careful. I tell you, you get yourself into deep trouble. Because you don't know what that church is all about. It's not necessary. Because it was abandoned for very long. So, not what the human mind think. This is something completely different. So, what I want to share is, the understanding behind, so that you are not deceived by rigid teaching. Understand not? You always go and quote me, hey, brother, you say you must do this, no, you go other place. It is not always like that. Condition can be very different. So you go to Middle East, how? Another teaching, you have to echo and flow, have love, have kindness. Otherwise, you find it very difficult, I tell you. You can get yourself into unnecessary trouble because you are too Buddhist, understand? And Buddhist, you want to challenge, understand? Or anything, namo tassa bhagavato arahato. I tell you, you get into big trouble. There was one couple renovate the house, get into trouble. Then he go and buy this chanting tape and play. Where he went to the temple, Brickfield, and they say, you use this chanting tape. Come back, kena lagi kaulat. Then he came to my Cempaka class Saturday. Then he didn't tell me all this before that. Then he came and talked to me. Then I suspect something. Then I asked her. Where the wife came and see me. The husband was behind. Then I said, do you do anything to your house? Then she looked at me. She said, brother, how you know? No, because from the way you tell me, because he said, a lot of things went wrong recently. He got into big trouble. Then I suspect it must be non-human. Otherwise, he cannot get into this big trouble. Then he said, yeah, we just bought a house. And we took over the house. Then we started talking to the contractor, getting them to do the renovation. The moment we start the renovation, big problem happened, he said. Big problem. Then I smiled. I said, no wonder, I said. Because you never get permission from them. You never talk to them. You never explain all this. You mean can talk to them or not? I said. I said, why not? Then he countered me, He said, I went to the temple. I checked with the monk. They asked me to buy this tape, Parita chanting tape. He said, I all lagi hemok, he said. I said, sure lagi hemok lah. You didn't talk. You go and play. They think you challenging them. Understand? Then after that he asked me, so what must I do? I say, very simple. Tonight, go back, have faith. Don't panic. Ask for forgiveness. Say, I really would like to ask for forgiveness. I don't know you all were here before me. I then explain to them, our society is different. When we buy over the property, we actually have the right to eat after we pay the money. You have to explain to them, understand not? Then because it's our new house, we intend to make renovation. We meant no harm. You are free to continue to stay. And please, help protect this place. Then after that, following Saturday, we are once a week we have the club. She come back, I saw her face peaceful already. No more of that panic, fear, all this. Then he come and thank me. He said, Bratil, thank you so much. Now at least we can have some peace. He said, now no more war. He said, no more of this. He said, last time he hit her until everything he do, the contractor argue with him. Then someone else, after that, he said, the husband also argue with him. The husband also tell her all. But they don't know what is happening. He said, before they get married, they were very close and very loving couple. He said, for the husband to get angry with her is something that you cannot phantom and understand. Then contractor, he said, can lah. But he said, this contractor was recommended to her one, a very nice contractor. And yet the contractor also can throw tantrum and become very angry and abusive. And like everything not smooth, understand? The contractor do his work, everything like go wrong. So, you cannot be asking me, brother, how you know? I also cannot tell you how I know, but my nature can feel. That's why, that's it. Then how it happened, you will never know until you have the ability to understand. So all this, it exists. But the Buddha says, don't have anything to do with them, understand now? Means don't try to take advantage of them or make use of them and do all those funny things. establish your understanding, have love, talk to people nicely. It's just like normal human being. You have to be at peace with them. You have to make friends with them. You have to have love, kindness, goodness, metta, compassion. So all this is part and parcel of society. Then the unseen, non-human, they are also beings. Not only the one that you can see. Sometimes the one you can see also can give you a problem. Understand? If you are not refined in your speech and tactful, you just blow your tantrum or do what you like and say what you like, you can get into trouble. Especially they say, this is not your territory. So you have to understand and develop all this sensitivity. That's why without mindfulness, you are not sensitive. That day, is it at the Tuesday class that I say this? Tuesday class, When you are mindful, you are sensitive. You can feel them, you can all them. So, if you say, hey, brother, too, I practice mindfulness, and you are so insensitive, you can't even know what is going on, and you say you practice mindfulness. When you are truly mindful, you are silent, without thought, aware. You are sensitive. Whatever that arises, you are sensitive. Your emotion, your feeling, external, the vibration, you are sensitive. You will know. That's why you must have that ability to be sensitive. And to be sensitive is to be silent. That's why when you want to find out something or listen to something attentively, what do? You just close your eye and silence everything. Then the senses become very clear. But if you are busy thinking, worrying, you cannot be sensitive. You will continuously be heedless, lost in thought. Worry about this, worry about that. Then the doubt, the anxiety, all this will arise. Okay. What's the time now? 5:40. Okay. You have to excuse me, I have to go to the washroom. So we have a 5-minute break, then we come back. Okay. Okay, we shall continue with our sharing. Huh? We are at page 282, commentary. Once you have returned to the real vehicle, even the real is nameless. You should discard the notion of reality. All the treasure and wealth of the Buddha Dhamma is yours originally, means original nature. It is the wind and light of your homeland. Use it as you wish. That's why this form of mind is the same for you to use, not to be deluded by it or deceived by it. But do not think they were given to me by my father. I have received them as an inheritance. You shouldn't think of the father, the son, or the use. Just use them, that's all. That is genuine recitation of the sutta. From the first to the last aeon, your hand won't set the text down, and you will recite it from morning to night. So this is Shenhua's commentary. Yeah? Then after that, Shenhua said, before I knew why the Buddha appeared in the world, this is Shenhua quoted Fata. Before I knew why the Buddha appeared in the world, say Fata, I had no way to stop the karmic process of this mad mind. See? Even Fata couldn't do anything with the mundane mind. He knew that is the one that caused karma. So before he knew, he said, before I knew why the Buddha appeared in the world. So now I ask you this question. Why did the Buddha appear in the world? For what? Why did the Buddha come? Use the mic. Where's the mic? Manya, pass it over to Alicia. Why did the Buddha appear in the world?
For the sake of the sentient being.
Yeah, to save all the sentient beings. Very good. The other thing is, he has to bring forth the Dhamma, that's all. He has to proclaim the Dhamma to save all the sentient beings. So if you don't have this understanding, you will have problem. That's why Father say, before he knew why the Buddha come to this world, he has got no answer to the law of karma. That's why he said, I had no way to stop the karmic process of this mad mind. So when you know that the Buddha came for the sake of the living being, because this Dhamma, the truth, the teaching, that defines clearly to you the secret of life, is very important to the human, not only human being, to the living beings. So without that Dhamma, the understanding, you cannot deal with life. You cannot deal with karma. So when you understand that the Buddha came for the sake of living being, and that is the reason why he brought forth the Dhamma. So when Fata understands this, he can deal with the karmic process. Because he has the Dhamma, understand not? Now he has the true understanding. That's how he got right view with regards to law of karma. Then how the right view with regards to law of karma bring forth the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind. So if he don't do that, he cannot deal with karma. If you don't take care of karma, karma will not take care of your life. If you neglect your karma, you will get into big problem because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So because of that, Fata came to realize that if I want to take care of karma, I must heed the advice of the Buddha. That's why he knew he must train his mind to be aware, to be heedful, to understand what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then only he can see his mental intention and take care of karma. So this part is very important. But now I know that the beginning, Savarka, vehicle, means the sound hearer. Then the middle, vehicle, which is pacheka, pacheka means the silent Buddha, pacheka Buddha. Pacheka Buddhas are what they call enlightened beings who awaken not during Buddha Sasana. They don't have the Buddha Sasana, they don't have the teaching, but they awaken through understanding the dependent origination. Condition, Dhamma, means paticca samuppada, dependent origination. Then the Bodhisatta vehicle, means the Mahayana vehicle. They are nothing but expedient devices. They are not real. So the Saifata mentioned, who would have a guess? Who will have gas? Nobody. Why? It's just right here in the flaming house of the triple womb. You know what is the triple womb, huh? The three type of karma, loka. The three type of loka, the world. Loka is world. Karma loka is sensual world. Yeah? The rhyme of sensual rhyme or desire rhyme. Then the form rhyme, rupa loka. Then the formless rhyme, arupa loka. These three, the 31 plane of existence, consists of the three worlds. The world of sensual desire, the world of form, and the world of the formless. That one can cultivate and realize Buddhahood and be a great Dhamma king. Because finally, Fata realized that. All these so-called Theravada, Mahayana, or Rajarayana, or in their own words, the sound hearer, the particular Buddha's cultivation, and finally the Bodhisattva way's cultivation. They are expedient way for you to develop the cultivation. Originally, they belong to one vehicle. So because of that, with that understanding, Fata answered Huineng. He said, who would have guessed that originally it was only one vehicle? And all these are expedient ways or devices. Then why? It's just here in the flaming house of the triple world, the rhyme of desire, rhyme of form, and rhyme of the formless rhyme, that one can cultivate, realize Buddhahood, and be a great Dhamma king. Then after that, Huineng knew. He said, yes, said the master, I see that you have developed the understanding. You understand. And so now you have the right to be called the Sutta reciting monk. Means you really recite the Sutta. You are mindful of the Sutta. Father understood the doctrine or the teaching, but he did not make the mistake some people might have and think. Like, I understand the teaching, so I don't have to recite it anymore. I have reached the level where I recite and yet not recite. Do not recite and yet recite. So he is not going to be like all those arrogant people who think that way. Then there is also another part in the commentary by Xuan Hua. Then Xuan Hua asks, if this is the case, then can you eat as if not eating, and not eat as if eating, or steal as if not stealing, and not steal as if stealing, or even kill as if not killing, and not kill as if killing? Can you get away with this? Of course not. If you truly understand and are unattached to what you do, you will not babble intellectual Zen. So all these are intellectual Zen. And say that you recite without recitation. Before you can make that claim, you must first have reached that level of accomplishment. So when you have the third essence of Huineng's teaching, then you can recite and like not recite. Just like what I share with you all. My nature share all this Dhamma with you, explain all these things with you. But actually inside there is nothing, no movement at all. The nature didn't do anything. It just make use of this form and mind to arise, whatever that need to arise. But inside is still no movement. Then you can ask the question, then where did the Dhamma come from? Then who is teaching? You want the answer there or not? Who is teaching? Where did the Dhamma come from? Pass the mic to Queenie. You are very close. Sadhu. You see, you understand that nature didn't move, understand? You can follow now. But that nature has nothing, understand? Then how did it teach? Because this nature connect to this form and mind, and this form and mind use that true mind to awaken. Then it developed the understanding and wisdom, and this one is not stored anywhere, understand? It doesn't even belong to anybody, but it's connected to this form and mind. Because when it awakened, he has the ability to understand all this. So this understanding is connected. That's why in the past I used to draw this. This form my mind with the consciousness. Then when you are able to touch the silent mind, and this silent mind awaken via the direct seeing, then develop wisdom. This wisdom, this one, is connected to this form of mind. That's why this form of mind has this understanding. And this form of mind is a vehicle and tool for my nature to come to this existential world and for this nature to teach, to share. But this is not me, you understand? And because this is not me, that's why that nature, which is connected and within, doesn't do anything. It is this understanding that is connected that this form of mind manifests. You understand? Can you follow? Cannot, never mind. Don't try to know. Otherwise it make you more confused. This is for those who in future may know. Okay? I think 6 o'clock already. Or past already. Oh yeah. 1 minute plus six. Okay. Do you have any question? You don't have, then we end. Okay. Let us do the closing puja. Let us recall to mind all of the beautiful sharing and the rejoicing and the wholesomeness. We rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we will delegate all this wholesomeness, merits, and share them with all beings, including some of our Kayanamita who may be going through certain sickness, especially brothers. Yeah? Then Chui also had an accident. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that we have developed may arise the causes and conditions for brothers to recover from his whatever condition so that he can get back his health and to be with the family again to develop the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. Then may Sister Chui to recover beautifully from her accident because she fell again. Then she developed some accident problem with her leg, I don't know what, I forgot. So may all this arise the causes and conditions for them to recover to good mind state so that they can continue with the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. And may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we shall now share all the merits with all beings, starting from the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakan Tuloka Sasana Itawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Sidiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to all the great beings and the worthy ones. Then we end, huh?
Mm-hmm.